Today we are hearing the readings for Ascension Day, which directly set us up for Pentecost next Sunday, the empowering of the church for mission. Ascension Day used to be far more emphasized in the church calendar. For example, when I was in high school, we were actually exempted from the first two classes of the morning because Ascension was honored as a holy day of obligation for the Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians. So my buddy Jen and I would go to early morning Eucharist, but not miss going to our own personal communion at Riester's German Bakery. Yum. Why has Ascension lost so much attention? Probably because in scholarly terms, it is seen as explaining Jesus' presence at God's right hand. For early evangelists, and then the framers of the Nicene Creed, with their ancient cosmology, Jesus had to leave here to get there. Most biblical scholars today understand the creedal proclamation and the story that supports it as a kind of theological poetry conveying a deeper truth. Jesus has ascended beyond the limits of time and space. For me, the ambiguity feels more emotional. I remember that the disciples, and by that I mean women included, had already lost their mentor and friend with his death on the cross. Then Jesus was back. He could appear to the couple walking from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared in the upper room behind locked doors. Jesus offered his friends breakfast on the beach. But now he was gone again, a second loss. Jesus reassures them as he is parted from them. But the disciples can't possibly understand what they are being asked to wait for. Luke's description of the promise differs slightly between his gospel and his account of the Acts of the Apostles. Stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. No wonder they are standing there, dumbfounded, wondering what to do next. They need a little help from the messengers in white, who challenge them, "Why do you stand looking up to heaven?" In other words, get going. Do what the teacher told you to do. Wait with joy until the Spirit comes. And according to Luke's gospel, that's exactly what they do. There are all kinds of ways to wait. We can wait with impatience and occasional frustration. I tend to fall in this category. What's taking so long? Why is the road so backed up? You might call this the "are we there yet" kind of waiting. It's really quite unpleasant, both for the frustrated person and anyone around her or him. There is also a kind of waiting that is really a kind of giving up, a resignation. What will happen. Don't ask me to do anything about it. It's not my problem. Here the person tries to remove him or herself from the ambiguity of waiting. It's an escape from the emotional and spiritual demands of waiting. But there is another possibility. You might call it faithful waiting. We acknowledge the difficulties of not knowing what the future will hold for us. We may occasionally feel frustration, but we don't try to escape from the reality of not knowing. Instead, we choose to embrace the present moment. That's what Luke's gospel says of the disciples after Jesus' ascension. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. They chose to respond to their waiting by blessing God and blessing one another. Even so, this doesn't mean that they weren't at times still confused and afraid. The great theologian Paul Tillich puts it this way: "But although waiting is not having, it is also having. The fact that we wait for something shows that in some way we already possess it. If we wait in hope and patience, the power of that for which we wait is already effective within us." There was a 10-year-old boy who was playing video games with his aunt and badly beating her, of course. She begged for some respite from the games and went to sit down to rest. But the little boy was restless and looked for something to do. He looked over and saw his Batman kite, which he hadn't had a chance to fly in a very long time. "Aunt Alice, want to fly my kite with me?" She looked outside and didn't see any breezes. "I don't think there's enough wind to fly." "I bet I can make it fly," he said. He ran out and started running up and down, but the kite just stayed shoulder high. After 10 minutes of running, he finally came back into the house. His aunt asked him, "Well, how did it go?" He answered, "I got it to fly some." But as he walked away to return the kite to its shelf, she heard him say under his breath, "I guess I'll have to wait for the wind." We all have to wait for the wind. It may be delayed. It may not come the way we expect. Sometimes it comes through surprising voices. But the wind, God's Holy Spirit, and God's amazing presence and power will come. It will break through our impatient hearts to remind us just how much God loves us. It will break through our complacency to empower us to love one another. It will empower us to pick up the pieces of our broken hearts and live with blessing and with joy.